Good morning. Thank you for joining us. The law of karma, this could take a long time. In the reading, St. Paul said, "What we sow, so shall we reap." And Master once put it this way. Master said, every human tendency is self-acquired. So if we sow an action, we reap a habit. If we sow a habit, we reap a character. And if we sow a character, we reap a destiny. So our consciousness, our thoughts shape our reality and condition our lives. And this can go on and on. When this wheel of karma turns with all our activity, and subsequent reincarnations come from this, all creation was created by the divine cosmic consciousness. And that being said, there were divine laws set forth. And when we break those laws, we will be responsible. We will have to pay the consequences of breaking the divine law. And I thought to share a story with you. It's about actually my brother, and it's about his passing. And I had to put some thought into this about how I might present it, so just bear with me on this. My brother had a very challenging childhood. At the age of 5, my father left the family, and my brother adored him. And so this was extremely hard. He didn't understand why his father would leave. And as a young boy, he was sort of became a loner, and he loved being outside, and we couldn't find him. He was out climbing a tree somewhere. And he had a very inquiring mind. He loved to take things apart to see how they worked. He loved to put them back together. He was usually successful, like with the toaster, but sometimes there were spare parts. And he, you know, he was very sure that they weren't needed in the first place. He had a very strong will, which you can just understand by that last statement. And so in school, his teachers didn't always know how to work with him. He didn't have Living Wisdom School. And so if there was a problem, he solved it. He ran away. And he solved it the same way every time. And so he didn't really have a very good relationship with school, and he never finished high school as a result. He just didn't see the use of it. And he, as a young man, did make some poor choices. He was never involved in drugs or alcohol, but he had a kind heart, and sometimes he trusted people that really weren't so trustworthy, and then he would be left to pay the debt, and, you know, for his poor choices. And he just did odd jobs, you know, throughout his life. And he had the good luck, and when he was about in his mid-30s, to be hired by a tree trimming company. And he loved it. And he was a hard worker. And the foreman encouraged him to actually take the exam and become a licensed or certified arborist. And this was extremely challenging because he didn't read very well at all. He didn't write very well at all. And yet he decided to take it on. He studied, and he had many trials and frustrations along the way, but he succeeded. He took the exam, he got his certification, and then they made him a team leader. It looked like his life was really working. Everything had fallen into place. He had a good job, he had friends, and yet the wheels of karma turn. And we never know what that is. So what happened? You know, he met this woman, and when he was 43, and they became very close and lived together for 6 years. And then one day he was driving to the market, and a car sped up behind him, somebody he didn't know, who didn't even live in the area. And he kept pushing along with, you know, the trying to run my brother's car off of the road. And for no reason, he fired a gun into my brother's car, and my brother died. Why? Why did that happen? How? His life was working. You know, when I heard the news, it was just unacceptable. And, you know, he was happy, and he deserved the happiness after he had, as I said, a challenging childhood. And yet the scales of cause and effect have to be balanced. Yes. There was disbelief, and there was anger on my part. sadness. And yet, when I stepped back from the sister who had lost the younger brother, and angrily, I was angry, asking God, why? Why? I remembered our teachings. And the teachings say cosmic law is not an irrational tyrant. There was a debt to be paid. And God, only God knows what that was. I wrote Swami Kriyananda is the founder of Ananda, and I asked him to pray for Jack's soul. And he wrote back and said, of course he would. And he also said that this tragic exit from the body may very well have helped him spiritually because of the progress he had already made on his own, because he was trying to improve his life. And you know that we just don't know what's around the bend. So Swami wrote back and said, yes, he would. And I share this not to make you sad, or me sad, actually. But it shows, it demonstrates the foundation, the solid foundation that we stand on with these teachings. You know, they help us understand this cycle of karma. It helps us to understand life. And life does just toss us around. It's like, you know, the crashing waves on the sea. And we get caught up. We get caught up in God's play. And we can really turn it into a drama. And, you know, Swami likes to remind us what Master said, that, you know, it makes for a good story. And, you know, there will always be the bad guy. There will always be the good guy. And there will always be the joy. And there will always be the sorrow, too. You know, it's refreshing, reassuring to know that we're only the players, that this is God's play, and our true nature is that of spirit. When we came into these physical bodies, we brought with us a lot of stuff. We brought with us, too, that divine spark of the infinite and our own individual expression of it. You know, and we have, in past lifetimes, we've done it all. We've played all the parts. We've been the banker, the robber, you know, the mother, the runaway child. We've even been the one who fired the gun. You know, it's we have very, very good karma, as Swami would say, to be here in this temple this morning and to be trying to live by these teachings that and also the masters that help and guide us all the time. You know, when we live in soul consciousness, or when we are in soul consciousness, we're empowered. Here we are in this beautiful temple, you know, and we're uplifting our energy in our thoughts, our prayers, our chanting. You know, we have our meditation techniques, we have Kriya, and we have the masters, you know, and they're always with us, always guiding us. And we have to remember that we have to do the work, you know. They're there supporting us. We can't run away from our karma. We can't move out of town. It's going to follow us wherever we go. But if we do the work, we can live in soul consciousness, and we can begin to soften and mitigate some of the karma. You know, it will come. Master or Swami said, you know, what comes of its own, let it come. You know, take it as a gift from Divine Mother, an offering that's going to uplift our soul. You know, we're here to know God. We're here to learn lessons. And, you know, we've all had experiences in our life where we look back, and they were tragic at the time, but we look back and we realize there was a lesson to be learned, and we were uplifted spiritually from the result. And we can say, I rise joyfully to greet each new opportunity. Or on the lighter side, Coco Chanel said, life is like perfume, honey, splash it on. You know, we just have to have a light heart and know that we're not alone. We don't have to do this by ourselves. And we have each other, of course. You know, we're God's children, and we're here for soul realization. And when we just stand in Master's light, we'll always be aware of that presence, no matter what comes. And God bless you.
We know from our teachings and also from science that all of life is deeply interconnected. The intelligent design at the source of this reality is truly divine. And there's a beautiful image I have always liked that expresses it so poetically. It says that hurricane winds in the North Atlantic may have had their beginning in the beating of a butterfly's wings thousands of miles away. Nothing we do is without some connective tissue, some consequence to someone or something else. Now, this interconnectedness is not only sublime in its totality, it can also be a bit disconcerting in its inescapability. And maybe that's why at times we try to push our awareness of it into that part of ourselves that engages in denial. That part that says, hey, if I do this little thing that I know I shouldn't, what's the big deal? It's just a little thing. I'm sure it won't matter. But the ripple effect is eventually going to ripple back. It just works that way, doesn't it? There is no escape from the karma that we generate. And this, of course, was well established by Newton in his third law of motion when he said that every action must have an equal and opposite reaction. Now, Newton, of course, was speaking of how things behave mechanistically, but whether he knew it or not, he was also describing the oldest law in the books, the law of karma. The law of karma can be viewed by us, depending upon our perspective, in one of two ways. We can see it as a stroke of genius on God's part, created to help us advance toward greater success and happiness. Or we can see it as a clever but very problematic imposition that seems to mess with all of our plans and schemes. And I highly recommend that you take the first point of view, because everything that we do, every desire, every deed, is going to trigger a karmic reply. It may come to us immediately in that moment, or it may lie in wait far into the future, as far as a distant lifetime. But eventually, either way, the scales of karmic justice must come into balance before we can join the ranks of a Yogananda, a Krishna, a Buddha, or a Christ. The good news is we are all going to eventually get there. That is God's promise to us. But before that, all karmic debts must be paid, mustn't they? Yes. Karma is just such a fascinating aspect of our lives. I ask myself, and perhaps you have asked yourself at times, looking at it with this realization, why is it that I can still be so resistant to scrapping the attitudes and the habits that stand in the way of my spiritual progress? Maybe as kids we should have been made to stay after class and write on the blackboard 100 times, I will stop making these idiotic mistakes. over and over again, or to put it in a more positive spirit as they would at Living Wisdom School, I am awake, I am alert, I learn from my mistakes. This planet could be a Garden of Eden, and it isn't. As we look around at all that passes for pragmatic behavior, all the political maneuverings that take place on every level of government, society, and business, all the energy wasted in trying to outdo the next guy in some way, shape, or form, and in the ways that we too, at times, let our egos lead us astray. In view of all that, I'm always reminded of a humorous but poignant quote from Jimmy Buffett. He said, "We have become the people that our parents warned us about." Some of you may be familiar with Bill McKibben. He is a leading voice in the battle to get us to stop this ransoming of nature's gifts, its resources, for the sake of indulging our worldly desires. The payback for that behavior is now quite inevitable. Yogananda predicted it. Swami Kriyananda has made it a point of emphasis for quite some time now. What McKibben says is that we have ravaged the body of this planet to the point that it no longer has the inherent capacity to recover. At least it has not that capacity in the course of the rest of the time that we will be alive. And probably the most disturbing part of that is that even faced with the many threats that we now have to our well-being, no countries and very few people have been willing to set aside their selfish pursuits and scale back our consumption of our precious resources. It's a shame. Hopefully someday that will change. And I'm sure that everyone here is certainly more caring and conscientious with respect to our environment. But collectively, there is an aspect to that karma that we all will be affected by. And we yet have a tremendous opportunity as we face what are probably difficulties ahead to put a great many gold stars on our karmic resumes for service and for self-offering. This new planet that we live on, and that's how McKibben describes it, that it is a new planet, not the one that we knew 30 or 40 years ago, and that this new planet is going to demand of us a monumental shift in consciousness and in lifestyle. So I ask you, wouldn't this be an excellent time to more involve yourself with people who are already moving in that direction of greater consciousness? And whether you are single or have a family, wouldn't this also be an excellent time to think about community living? Living where high-minded people not only support each other, but are certainly better prepared to deal with the likelihood of these many difficulties ahead. What a great blessing we have received, are invited to share as well with all whom we meet for being on this path of self-realization. With that comes a responsibility as well. We must make the effort until it becomes our nature to respond with energy, with gratitude, and with love, not only to that which pleases us, but also to that which does not. It's an opportunity for us to really move forward and to move forward together. Did I mention that such communities do exist? I wouldn't be surprised if after service there might not even be somebody that could talk to you about that and let you know a little bit more about what is available. What a great blessing we have received in being on this path. As most of you know, Tushti and I will be in just a little more than a month or so leaving Palo Alto to join Ananda's work at its new center in Laurelwood, Oregon. Over the course of the 9 years that we have been here, we have received countless blessings, and most of all, from the many friendships that we will cherish always. Master said to Swamiji, "You have a great work to do." And he has done it. And in preserving and adding to that work, we also have a great role to play in the days ahead as we look to what may be these difficult times. I believe that if we choose to be, we can be beacons of light to a very difficult world, perhaps, and to many people who will be looking for our help. I just want to say God bless you in your efforts, and thank you so very much for the inspiration that you have been to us and always will be.